Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. No thing, that's what I wanna
hear. Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. We are off tomorrow because of the Cardinals game, but we did a podcast for you about an hour, which will drop tomorrow at 10 a.m. So probably one of my last chances to remind you of that. It's pretty funny, so listen to it. It's kind of the Andrew Show. Not going to lie to you. Which is not bad. Not a bad thing at all. But you were feeling your oats today.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. You're entertaining. You're a big part of the show. Matt Pauly is here, who does all of our sports stuff. And I have to tell you guys, legit, not kidding, you are my second favorite show on the station.
Thank you.
Only behind Hancock and Kelly.
Okay.
I love Hancock and
Kelly. I thought you were going to say behind this show.
No. I friggin' hate this show. I love listening to you guys. You're my drive home. And here's what I especially love. Listening to Matt deal with Wheeler is like, it's like you're talking to my wife. And I'm like, get him.
He's so good at it.
And you're so good at it. And yeah. I love, I think it was last night, you made this noise about something. Like, brother, I've been there.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with Kevin.
Matt's good at that, too. He's great at managing me.
Yeah. Kevin and I are very like-minded in baseball stuff, but Kevin, I think, wants to jump further than I want to jump or jump sooner I want to jump. And a lot of times it's that. It's like, yeah, Kevin, you're right. But let's take a beat. Let's see where this goes.
And my response is, let's go!
Yeah, yeah. Like anytime I mention patience, I just look at him and like it is not a virtue to Kevin Wheeler, that is for sure.
No
it's
chill.
Like being in the parking lot of Six Flags with an 8-year-old. They just want to go.
Get me on the ride.
So I have been truly fascinated and impressed with all of your analysis about how do we get Gorman in? We need to get him more at bats. He's batting well, but he's not going to get better just sitting on the bench. Then you got to take out Arenado. He's a Hall of Famer. You got to take out this guy, and he's this, and he's that, and the Rubik's Cube thing. And what I'm left with is what I hope is that every team is going through something like this, but it doesn't feel like it. It feels like
different things.
Like, it feels like we're just in this conundrum, and no one else ever has been.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Because a lot of times we do talk about issues with the Cardinals, and one of our things is like, well, you're just not paying attention to the rest of Major League Baseball. Every team is dealing with this.
Oh, they're dealing with something.
But like this sort of situation that the Cardinals have put themselves in, there is some uniqueness to it where you overtly state it's going to be a runway season and the goal is to find out about guys, and then you're not able to maneuver a roster.
Them.
Yeah.
And you name them. Walker and Gorman and those guys.
And you name the guy that you don't want to be around anymore either.
And you try to trade him and it doesn't work. And you're like, well.
So, boy, that's so true.
It's their own doing. And credit to the organization and the team for winning as many games as they have this year. But they're still just in this murky water of what's the priority. And I think it's going to be September or October, whenever the Cardinals season ends. And we're still not really going to totally know what the actual priority was during the season.
Well, I think that's what's worrying me. That's why I'm froggy and I want them to jump a little bit more. On some of these lineup things, for example, if you don't get 340, 350, maybe even 400 plate appearances for Nolan Gorman, you can't know what you have for next year. You have to get at least that amount to have any idea of how he fits into your plan for next year or to enhance his trade value if Heim Bloom is going to be like, that's the guy we want to move. And I think that's the part that's kind of funny to me is the things that are put out there. Now, Matt and I have talked about this off the air a little bit, but I think it's fine to bring up, is that, you know, we hear Ollie says a lot, I want to put Gorman in there. And I keep yelling, you make the lineup. You can just write his name in there and take someone out and rotate it around to make it so that he gets to play four or five games a week.
What would you do if you were Froggy?
Well, I mean, I showed Matt this and sent it to him. This is what I do when I coach a 14-year-old team, right? I've got 13 or 14 guys, and they all have to play at least 67% of every game. So I have to make a chart every week of who needs to sit, who needs to play, and how you move that all around. I just made this thing up in 7 or 8 minutes where you could play, and it was just a random 7-game sample, where if you just sat certain guys a little bit, you could get 6 games a week for Herrera, 7 for Contreras, 6 for Donovan, 6 for Nootbaar, 6 for Walker, 5 or 6 for Gorman. But it would require Mason Wynn gets a day off every week. It would require that Nolan Arenado gets a day or two off every week. It would require that, you know, maybe Herrera catches a couple times instead of once a week. And it's not impossible, and it's not, none of it's ideal, right? And the only way to clear this up to make it easier is to trade some of these players away and to clear the decks. Because here's the problem with this group that we're talking about. You're adding to it because Sejacy plays the same positions as all these guys. And J.J. Weatherholt plays the same positions as all these guys. So you're going to have to clear the decks. Do you want to make the wrong decision because you didn't give the highest upside guy? In my opinion, that's Gorman. He's the highest upside guy of the players we're talking about. Walker has the same thing, but Walker's not in this discussion because he plays a completely separate position. So do I want to make a decision on him with less information? And by the way, if I'm trying to win right now, which they continuously say they are, he's your best hitter for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And I get their hesitations. I do understand Ollie makes really good points about not wanting Donovan in left. The toe's been a problem. He's your best defensive second baseman. I understand that completely. I understand that they're going to respect Nolan Arenado. I don't think it's a disrespect, though, to say this guy is playing, hitting better than you, so once or twice a week, you're going to get a day off. And as Matt made a great point in all of this, what was it, last week maybe, about how a lot of these guys might just be better if they get more rest.
Yeah.
Lars Nootbaar's been hurt his entire career. How do we think he's going to go out and play 150 games and just be fine with that? Mason Wynn's had a back problem now 2 years in a row. Maybe he'd be better with more rest. Maybe Victor Scott would be better not playing every single day. Maybe Arenado, as a 34-year-old who's also had back problems, would be a better performer if he had more time off. So there's a lot here. You just have to be willing to move the pieces. And they're not, because as I put it, they just fetishize defense, which is understandable because you have a pitching staff that doesn't miss bats, specifically a rotation that doesn't miss bats. But when you're not scoring runs, I don't care how many you limit, you have to score to win. Earlier in the year, in May, this was a non-issue because they were scoring, right? We didn't talk about any of this stuff because we didn't need to. They were winning. Why would you talk about what's working? Mm-hmm. But when it's not working, you need to adapt and adjust to the current circumstances, not the ideal circumstance that you want to exist.
Two quick reactions to everything you just said. First off, this man at 11 o'clock in the morning is sending me Excel spreadsheets with 7 days worth of Cardinals lineups. It's insane.
It was 11:45.
Yeah. The second thing is,
you should send him something at 7 in the morning.
Oh, I wouldn't even get it.
I know.
I could send him something at 4 in the morning before I've awake. Even gone to bed.
And I'm still awake when he does that.
So I text him at midnight all the time. I got Kevin's up. Anyway, yep. So... the other thing here, and Oliver Marmol said this yesterday, and it was a very quick thing, but I thought it was, he was asked a question, it was very specific to, can Thomas Sejacy get here and play by other guys getting rest? So admittedly, the question was connected to Sejacy, not to guys on the current roster, but we can apply it. He mentioned, look, if we start doing that, that involves the front office as well. So this is not just an Oliver Marmol thing. And this is a front office thing as well when it comes to all this. We do at times have to deal with facts as well. Like everything Kevin just said is probably correct. But being correct and actually assessing what a team is going to do is different. They're not going to give Nolan Arenado more time off.
They're not.
Unless it is necessitated probably by an injury that occurs. Same thing with Lars Nootbaar outside of right now where he's just not hitting. But if he's hitting enough, they'll keep him in there. They're not going to put Brendan Donovan in the outfield too often. I kind of agree with that one. I think he hasn't been out there much because that toe thing's actually been around maybe longer than anybody has said. So, you know, Kevin's statements are very utopian. But we can also say, okay, what will the team actually do? And that's where we run into a wall. Because from a what will they actually do standpoint, there doesn't seem to be much of an answer.
Let me ask real quick.
Say, go ahead.
Nolan Arenado, is that because of some unwritten Hall of Fame rule? You don't take a future Hall of Famer out? Or do they really think that he gives them the best chance 5-6 days a week to win?
I think that. And I keep citing this. CBS Sports just wrote a really long article about Paul Goldschmidt in New York and what has led to his resurgence this year. He's getting tons of off days in New York, and he's bouncing back in a big way. And they actually found the data of what Goldschmidt did when he was a Cardinal and coming off just scheduled off days, so not days that the days where the team didn't play. He had great days. His numbers on the day after an off day were fantastic, but he was getting no off days with the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Same thing's happening right now with Nolan Arenado. I think they really look at that defense. They don't want to take a step back on that, and they just believe that Arenado's a big part. So, yeah, I think they think that running him into the ground the way they are is the best plan.
This is the part I don't understand, and it's, by the way, why I get I'm not angry about any of this stuff, but I get, like, heated up. I get fired up because none of it makes sense based on what they said they're doing. You tried to offload Arenado in the offseason, not because he's bad, but because he's not a part of your long-term future, and obviously maybe the offer to save some money was a big part of that too. Not maybe, it was. But now all of a sudden, that doesn't matter anymore. I don't. That's the part I don't understand. I think we can say very clearly the long-term good Cardinals team is not going to have Arenado on it. Not because of him, but because of age and contract and all those other things.
Yeah.
So why are we prioritizing that when, I mean, look, I'm not, this is not bag on Arenado Day because he's one of my favorite players. I love this player. He's amazing. But his defense this year is not that good. It's great, but he's not going to win a Gold Glove playing the way that he is. It's not what it was last year. It's down from last year. It's down from where it was in 2023, where it was down from previous to that. And it's not saying that he's not still great, because he makes plays every day where I'm like, man, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But how many of those plays change the outcome of a game? How many of those plays happen at a time of a game where the game is on the line? How many of those plays happen in a game that you're that's competitive as opposed to you winning by five or losing by five? Versus you're going to have four at-bats at least every game. And at some point when you're not scoring runs, again, I don't even make this case that this should be a permanent move. I'm just saying at the moment, you've got a hot player who you do need to find out about. You've got a veteran player that would probably be better off with some more rest, even if he doesn't like it. And then you've got other movable parts, but you will not make those moves for reasons X, Y, and Z, but they prevent you from reaching the goal that you stated at the beginning of the year, which is giving runway to guys like Nolan Gorman. Well, you're boxing yourself in. Nobody's doing that to you. There's no outside force boxing the team in. The team has put themselves in this position, and they could change it if they wanted to.
So outside of injury, given everything that you're saying, why would we expect to see Weatherholt this year?
Oh, we won't.
If there's already a logjam.
The only thing I would say, if they completely fall apart, and then it's the Mason Wynn situation from 2 years ago where you bring him up when the rosters expand in September and get him a taste, but also keep him eligible for like Rookie of the Year awards and stuff like that the next year. So I think it's likely that we don't see him, but if they are completely out of it, I leave open the possibility.
Okay, that's Matt Pauley. Quick break.
Tomorrow. Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 424. Matt Pauly sticking around because we had a really interesting conversation on the break. We're going to try to replicate for you. I asked the guys if the trade deadline were a couple, three games above 500, real tweener team, are we buyers or sellers? And Wheels, you advocated for both.
Yeah, both at the same time. I don't see why you couldn't. You add to the bullpen where you could use something. And depending on the performance of the rotation, too, maybe you're going to add a starter. I mean, but you can add to where you need something and also subtract from where you have depth. And in that group of players we just talked about, there's plenty of room to move somebody. And I don't know who it would be necessarily. I think from the team's view, it'd be great to trade Arenado, right? If you could find a way to do what you wanted to do in the offseason. That would be your best for them. It would be the best.
At this point, would it be worth eating a substantial amount of salary just to make the room for your up and coming players?
Yeah, 100%. And one of my big things is, you know, stop looking at Nolan Arenado's salary and start connecting it to other players who might have to be moved if you don't move them. So if it's either Arenado or Brendan Donovan, would you rather spend that total sum of money for Arenado's production or for Donovan's production? Because you're going to eat some of Arenado money, that's fine. But if you start looking at that as the money that you're paying to be able to get these other guys in the lineup, I think it starts to make more sense. So, I'm with Kevin. Look, there are certain times in the calendar year where you have an opportunity to make roster changes, and one of those is the trade deadline. Yeah. And if you've got a muddled roster, we'll take that as an opportunity to demuddle.
And it's not bad. Like, these aren't bad players. You know, like, you've got good players, but it's a weird mix because they kind of limit each other. And we were just talking about, too, they're very left-handed. So if this was the same kind of grouping, but, like, one more guy was right-handed, well, it fixes everything.
Yeah.
Or at least it fixes a lot. If Gorman batted right-handed, it would fix a lot. You know, it gives you some opportunities against lefties to split it up and all of that. But when you have too many guys that play the same positions, and really, at least two guys where their best position is DH, Herrera and Gorman, it's tough. So then the question becomes, like what Matt's saying, you know, do you want to get the best production or do you want the best return? Because the argument would be, well, if you trade Donovan, you're actually going to get a good return. You're going to get at least one top 100 prospect and then a package on top of that. Is that better considering the money than just saving money and moving Arenado and not getting much of a return either? So there's a lot of really interesting moving parts. I don't want to trade Donovan, though, because to me, Donovan's a leader. He's a real known commodity at the top of the lineup. He's somebody that can be fuel for the younger players. So I don't want to trade him, but it's part of the question, right? The question is, where do you get the best for next year and beyond?
Yeah.
So do you maybe trade Newt? Well, you can't think of that right now because he stinks right now. His value is going to be down. Do you think about trading Gorman and taking the risk? Because somebody will trade for him.
Yeah.
And you'd get something. It might be a reliever. He's talented, so he's going to get you something.
Who would we get top 100 prospects for? And not like Sonny Gray. I know that. But I mean the tweener guys.
Donovan, maybe.
Donovan might be the only one.
Yeah.
Of the guys you'd be willing to trade. Probably for Contreras. But I don't think you want to trade him. I'd keep him. I think his bat's valuable. I think his personality is valuable.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go anywhere.
And he
either.
Doesn't want to. And the same thing with Sonny. Sonny might. He might get you that guy because he's got another year, and that has value to a big market team that could be like, hey, we got 2 years of this starter. We can give them our AA starting pitcher who's the number 92 prospect or something like that.
Okay, so you're in the offseason, and basically everybody thinks that the team is going to stink this year.
Yeah.
And Wilson Contreras and Sonny Gray both say, we're not going to get rid of our no trade. And now the team's a lot better than they were.
Yeah.
In what world are they going to say, okay, yeah, you can trade. Now that the team's good, you can trade me. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah, and I don't want to trade them either. We're just going on that theory of who could get you that level of return. I think Gorman is more, you're going to get more of a lottery ticket or more of like bullpen help because he's had the ups and downs. But let's just say you play out the rest of the year, you give him another 300 at-bats, and he hits 22 home runs. You got a big piece to trade in the offseason if that's the path you want to follow.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.